would, I, if I'm Todd Monken, I would just want to hire my own DC and let's go.
I would too. I just don't know if that's the way it is playing out. How's that sound?
Okay, I'll give you that.
Although I could be totally wrong.
Yeah,
I'm
just, who knows?
I'm speculating.
We'll find out. We'll find out. There are a lot of guys.
I just know you. They need to have Todd with a guy you can trust. Again,
well, of course. Hey, this guy's coming in with a knife. He wants my job.
Well, let's just say they elevate somebody who's already currently on the staff. And I'm just saying this is the same argument that we had with Jim Schwartz, right?
Well, if they elevate a guy who's on the staff, I would think he'd be happy to be elevated. That would be Jason Tarver or Ephraim Bonda.
Right, but I'm just saying, or give me another name, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they were already on the staff and then they see the way Munkin's doing things, and they're like, oh, you know, Stefanski used to do this better. I mean, what's the difference between that and Jim Schwartz? Not Schwartz would probably be the same way. Like,
you know what, though,
if
Andy,
you thought
guys,
that you were going to hire Schwartz as defensive coordinator, even though he had interviewed for the head coach's position, and you would say to yourself, I don't really know if Munkin knows what he's doing when it's coming to defense. Maybe I don't.
I wouldn't expect that. You know why? These guys are mercenaries. They know wherever they go, they have to give their absolute best while they're there for whoever it is as the head coach. I mean, it's a small little group of guys. And how many of them ever end up staying more than 5 years in one spot? Not very many.
That's true. That is true.
The name Corey Undlin keeps getting thrown around. You know, the Texans defensive coach. He was with the Browns for 4 years under Romeo. He's been all around the place. He worked with Munkin a little bit. We'll see. They'll get this. I don't mean this to sound as simpleton as it sounds. They'll hire some guy they think has a good background. They'll give him a good bunch of defensive players, and let's see what he can do. It doesn't get a whole lot more complicated than that.
No, I know. And it's something you say all the time, and I tend to agree with you, that sometimes I just think they overthink these positions. They overcoach, or that they... You know, they try to, and it's not just the Browns. I'm not picking on the Browns. I just think the game itself, like Bill Belichick would go into New England, and how many, he'd have like less than 10 coaches on his staff.
Yeah, I don't understand the structure with all of the coaches they have. You know, I mean, who's reporting to who and who's handling this, who's handling that? I would think it would get a little convoluted myself, but I've never coached in the NFL.
They don't apply to the KISS theory. Keep it simple. Stupid.
No, they don't seem to, do they?
No, they never do. No. I mean, how many times over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years you go to look at who's on the Browns coaching staff and there's like 50 coaches on there and you're like, okay, I get it. Give me offense, defense, running back, tight ends coach maybe. Okay, I don't even know. He could put the tight ends could go with the offensive line coach. Maybe we could save a little money there. I'm not trying to – I don't think that they're trying to save money. I just think it's just there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the Browns and – some people might have some good ideas to throw some ingredients in there, but might be so low on the totem pole that they're not really going to start suggesting ideas. You know, I've coached before. That seems to be a line I've heard plenty of times in every sport. When you're the head coach and somebody comes up to you and you go, you know, I think we should run this. And they'll be like, oh, okay, good idea. And you should do it. No, I've coached before. I get it. Because at some point, you got to be the head man, right?
Well, in theory.
You got to make the decision. So,
yeah.
Do you think Todd Monken should have the full stay over his staff?
Yes. Actually, I do. With input. But I would think he should have final say over his coordinators. Those are his most trusted coaches.
Yeah, I mean, do you think... I don't know how it should work.
Then he can turn, you know, okay, DC, who do you want? You want a different assistant safeties coach to coach these four guys? Great.
Oh, the four guy room? Okay, we'll build another room for them.
I wonder how many little cubby holes they have over there.
No, they just keep bringing in trailers.
Must be.
It's the easiest way to do it. Be the trailer park boys. The trailer Brook Park boys.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. I'm trying to make that happen somewhere.
Nice.
I don't know if that's the way you go. I think Todd Monken needs to have full say over his staff.
You do?
Yeah, he doesn't have full say over the roster. So the least you can do is give him his own staff. Especially, you know, they were talking yesterday, we had this conversation with Scott Petrick about when you change a head coach, it's $100 million deal. You know?
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out who the new assistants are going to be, who do you have to pay off, you're going to let them out of their contract, if their contract is there and you just want to let them go. You know, you're talking, you know, millions for the current contract that you have with your defensive or offensive coordinator, your special teams coordinator, and now you're switching it out. So now you've got more, you know, how many years are we going to give this guy? What are we doing with this situation or that situation? So I do think it's important that Todd Monken has the say over his staff. But they are. When you look at the entire process, do you think, huh, it's after the Super Bowl. They need a defensive coordinator. Let's go.
No,
what's the timeline on this?
No, they'll find one. When do they have to be on the field for OTAs and everything else? I mean, when's the first time you're there? I would think you need to have somebody in place, you know, a month before. Work on, I mean, guy's going to walk in the door with a defensive scheme.
Well, it sounds like they're using the same scheme.
Well, won't be identical. Whoever it is, unless it's Tarver or Bonda, I would think there would be some serious tweaking. And even with those guys, even though they're promoted from within, there will still be tweaking, Andy.
Danny,
everybody wants to do something a little differently.
Yeah. Are you down with the way they're handling this? I am. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to hear in three weeks or 3 months or 3 years that Todd Monken didn't have control over his own staff. That I think it's a blunder if you don't give the head coach that power.
You know, Andy, we know the benefits of casting a wide net on all of our areas of expertise when it comes to how the defense operates.
I thought you were in Atlanta.
That was a little deeper.
Oh, that was Andrew.
That's a little Andrew Barrett.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Andrew. You sounded a little like Kevin.
If they are doing this because, and again, we don't know, but if this wide net is being cast because Todd Monken looked around and said, I want to get the defense that I hate facing, that fits what I have as a team and when the talent on this defensive side, and I despise facing this defense, then I'm all in. I think that's fantastic. If they're doing this because we come to find out that the Browns front office wants to, let's talk to the Rams and see what Chris Shula's doing because he didn't want to interview with us to begin with. And then let's talk to these people. And then maybe we'll talk to Seattle. And then maybe we'll go this direction. Find the guys that fit the talent that is best on the defense. Bring them in. Bring that defense with them. And make it the defense that Todd Monken despises facing. Because that usually seems to work.
I wish I had an answer for that. The defense, how does the defense get better? So you can kind of crawl into that story. Where do you think this defense has holes? And how are you going to fix that? How is that going to get better? Like, how does the interview go? Hey, by the way, you're about to become defensive coordinator for Myles Garrett. Congratulations. How are you going to make Myles Garrett better? Are you?
You laugh. I mean, it's probably a question that's in there, and there's a lot of ways you could goof this up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people who would go, well, you know, maybe I could come in and we'll really mess with it by dropping Myles Garrett into coverage.
Oh.
Ah.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it, and we've seen it work with some teams where they'll drop their best pass rusher into coverage. We've seen it kaboom with other teams. Like, there's a lot of different ways to get this done.
If somebody said that, I'd kick him right out of there. I'd be like, hey, great, good interview. See you later. Hey, by the way, how are the peanuts on the airplane? Because you're about to get them, because we're about to throw you back on another plane. I don't know how that could even be discussed. Oh, here's Carson Schwestinger. What are you going to do with him? How are you going to make him better?
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Is it possible for them to destroy the defense in a year?
Well, of course they could destroy it. I mean, you know, you guys have had toddlers. You know how this goes. Anything could get destroyed.
It's not the truth.
Isn't it a little early to be this negative about someone who hasn't been hired yet?
I don't know why we're negative on this one. There's no reason because...
There's no reason to be negative.
They're talking to a whole bunch of different people.
Because I think we're questioning whether Todd Monken has full control over this hire. That's why I think we're negative.
Are we questioning it or do we just want to think that that's the way to go? I think it's just the way to go.
I think it's the way to go. You think it's the way to go. But I don't know that the Browns think that's the way to go. I could see the Browns being like, yeah, we like this guy a little bit better than the other guy.
It would be the
whether it's ownership
question.
Or Andrew Berry or what. I think we just don't trust it.
Which defense completely befuddles you, Todd? Go get that defense. Which defense do you despise facing?
Stop making sense.
Doesn't that? I think that's common sense.
It's the same reason why Clint Kubiak is calling Jim Schwartz right now and trying to get him out of the contract to go to the Raiders. Why? Because that Jim Schwartz is kryptonite for Clint Kubiak's offense. How do I get that? Well, I'm going to go get the guy so I don't have to face him.
Well, you're not going to have to face him anyway. You're either going to get him or not have to face him at all. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that. There was one other Olympic story that we need to get to, too, about the Olympic medals themselves. So we'll get to that. We'll continue on with this Browns conversation. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Pat Boyle, here to help you beat the books with Western One Sports.